Where would we be without Jesus? Thankful for your coming. We have visitors with us and we're glad to see you. Appreciate the reading from Colossians chapter 1, where Paul emphasizes the preeminence of Jesus. It was pointed out from verse 18 that he is the head of the body, the church. Paul taught in this same epistle in chapter 3 in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." One way we teach and admonish one another is in song. What I'd like for us to do this afternoon is observe some great truths about the church as set forth in the first song, number one, about the church in this book, that is based upon that statement of Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. From the very first stanza of the song, I submit to you that the church that we just read about in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 follows Christ's word. Since Christ is the head and the church is his body, the church follows Christ's word. That relationship between Christ and the church, head and body, requires the subjection of the church unto Christ. As Ephesians 5 and verse 24 says, as the church is subject unto Christ. Notice the song says, where he does speak, there we are heard. Where he is silent, we are too. There are a lot of churches that get that backward. That is, where he does speak, they are silent. They're not heard where he has spoken. And where he is silent, there they are heard. They are speaking where he is silent, and silent where he has spoken. But the church of Christ speaks where the Bible speaks, and is silent where the Bible is silent. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, in verse 17, Paul said, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And so, where he does speak, there we are heard. Yet Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Thus, where he is silent, we are too. The song says, what Christ commands is what we do. Sometimes we're asked, what do you do? What do you do here in the church? The answer to that is what Christ commands. In Matthew 28 and in verses 19 and 20, the Lord said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Also, note in your Bible in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, where Simon was told what to do by the Lord, and he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." It is as the mother of Jesus said to the servants at the marriage in Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2 and verse 5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And so the first thing to be emphasized about the church is the fact that the church follows Christ's word. That involves speaking where he speaks and being silent where he is silent, and doing what he commands. The second thing I point out to you about the church from this song is the fact that Jesus will add your name above, from verse 2. When you think about your name being added above, that is the idea of your name being written in heaven. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12 and verse 23, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written where? In heaven." Did you know that your name can be written in heaven above? You can be a member of the church. Acts 2 verse 47 talks about the church and how the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The song says Jesus will add your name above if you'll. There's some conditions that must be met on our part for our name to be added above. It says if you'll believe, repent, and love, confess his name before all men, be buried in water with him. We see the condition of faith, if you'll believe, in the book of John 8 and verse 24, when Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." If you want your name to be written in heaven above, then you must believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. You can have your name added above if you'll repent and love. It's not enough to just believe, but there are changes that must be made. The Lord taught that in Luke 13 and verse 3 when he said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Acts 2, when folks asked, "What shall we do?" they were told, "Repent," in verse 38. But notice also that song suggests another condition of having our name added above, and that is confess his name before all men. Didn't Jesus say something about that in Matthew 10:32? When he declared, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" there are different answers given to that. And then he asked them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And everyone who has entered the church has made that same confession, just like the Ethiopian in Acts 8 and verse 37, who said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." If you want your name added above, you need to make that same confession. But also, the song says, "If you'll be buried in water with him." Burying in water is a condition of having your name written above. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Buried with him in baptism is how our name is added above. Acts, the second chapter, finds names being added above. When they heard the preaching of the apostles and they were moved to faith, they were conscience smitten, they asked, "What shall we do?" They were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And they that gladly received his word were baptized, verse 41. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, verse 41. And if you'll follow that same example, your name can be added above. What a blessing, what a great privilege to have our name added above, written in heaven, becoming a member of the church that we've just read about and that we often sing about. But notice further that, as the song suggests, the church of Christ, our Savior's bride, from verse 3. Yes, the church of Christ is our Savior's bride. The church is represented in the New Testament as the bride of Christ. When Paul wrote his second letter to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, he said, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The church is the bride of Christ. Christ is the husband. And that would suggest that there is but one church. If there is but one husband and one bride, that shows the singularity of the church. Yet there are those who suggest that there are lots of different churches. And to suggest that all of these different churches belong to Christ is to make Christ a polygamist. You realize that there's one husband, one bride, and as that is true, there is but one church. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body which identified as the church. That text from Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church. Your body has but one head, and your head has but one body. There is but one Savior and but one bride. And as the church of Christ is our Savior's bride, the church wears the name of Christ. That's why this is known as the church of Christ that meets here. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. And as an individual, you wear the name of Christ. You're called a Christian. The disciples were called Christians. First at Antioch, Acts 11 and verse 26. When Agrippa, the king, met with the apostle Paul in Acts 26 and verse 28, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be." To be what? To be a Christian. That's all the Bible will make you, is a Christian. Notice in this song that, as the song suggests, the church of Christ, our Savior's bride, it says, "For which he suffered, bled, and died." That shows the great value of the church. The fact that our Savior was willing to suffer for the church, to bleed for the church and to die for the church. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 talks about the fact that Christ suffered without the gate. His blood was shed. In the book of John 19, the crucifixion scene in verses 33 and 34, when they came to Jesus, he was dead already, and they didn't break his legs, but a soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and there came out blood and water. And the blood that Jesus shed is the blood that he purchased the church with, according to Acts 20 and verse 28. And as the song says, died, Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The church of Christ, our Savior's bride, for which he suffered, bled, and died, is open to all who believe on Jesus and him receive. Yes, the church of Christ is open to all. What a blessing to know that the church of Christ is open to all. There are some things that are not open to all. There are some things that you and I would be excluded from, but not the church of Christ, our Savior's bride. Open to all, whosoever will may come. Revelation 22:17. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Doesn't make any difference what color of skin. Doesn't make any difference what your background might be. Open to all. Even the vilest may enter in. Remember Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. You think the church of Christ has room for a person from that kind of background? Paul said, I obtained mercy. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if there's room in the church of Christ, our Savior's bride, for Saul of Tarsus, then surely there's room in the kingdom for you and for me. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. When Paul talked about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. You think there's room in the church of Christ, our Savior's bride, for such? He said, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. The church of Christ, our Savior's bride, is open to all who believe on Jesus and him receive. But then notice the last verse of the song, unto Christ be glory, for I. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, I learned that the church of Christ is the place where glory is given to God. Paul said, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. It's in the church that we are in position to give glory to God. And that's our mission, to glorify God. How do we do that? Notice the song goes on to say, work through his church. Don't go astray. Follow not the mind of man, for God gave us a perfect plan. And so that becomes the means by which glory is given unto Christ for I throughout the church. Notice the song says, work through his church. The church is a workplace. The church is set forth in various figures to teach different aspects of the church. Like the kingdom shows that the government feature, that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're citizens. We have a territory and we have law that we're subject to. And the church is represented as a body. The church is the body of Christ, and we're members that work together in unity. But the church is also a vineyard, the vineyard of the Lord. Like in the book of Matthew, in chapter 21, 28 through 30, when we find that example where a father said to his sons, go work today in my vineyard. A vineyard is a place of work. And so the church is a place where we are to be laborers in the Lord's vineyard. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So work through his church. The song says, don't go astray. We can't give glory through going astray. James chapter 1 and verse 16, James admonished, do not err, my beloved brethren. To err is to go astray. And there are those, unfortunately, who have gone astray. Notice the song says, follow not the mind of man, for God gave us a perfect plan. I like that, don't you? Too many want to follow the mind of man. They want to do what comes into their mind, what seems good to them. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, the Bible says. But the end thereof are the ways of death. In the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It reminds me of Naaman, who in his mind thought that when he was told to dip seven times in Jordan, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better? That was in his mind. But God gave him a plan, didn't he? Through the messenger, whereby he could be cleansed of his leprosy. And it wasn't until he submitted to God's plan that his leprosy was cleansed. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the Lord said through the prophet, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways. Yes, God gave us a perfect plan. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19 and verse 7. And James in chapter 1 and verse 25 said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Unfortunately, there are churches that even refer to themselves as churches of Christ who have left God's perfect plan and are following the mind of man. But the church that we sing about and that this book reveals to us is the church that follows not the mind of man, but God's perfect plan. God's plan for the ages, set forth in the book of all ages, the Bible, the Word of God. A lot of great truths that are set forth in this song, aren't there? The church of Christ follows Christ's word. Where he does speak, there we are heard. Where he is silent, we are too. What Christ commands is what we do. Jesus will add your name above if you'll believe, repent, and love. Confess his name before all men. Be buried in water with him. The church of Christ, our Savior's bride, for which he suffered, bled, and died, is open to all who believe on Jesus Christ and him receive. Unto Christ be glory for aye. Work through his church. Don't go astray. Oh, follow not the mind of man, for God gave us a perfect plan. You can't improve upon that, can you? And so the chorus motivates us with these words, work for the master every day. Help lead the erring to his way. Believe his word, obey his command. The church of Christ will forever stand. It's like in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, when Daniel saw a consuming kingdom and talked about the kingdom that God was set up in the days of the Roman kings. He said, it shall stand forever. The kingdoms of men pass away one by one, but the church of Christ will forever stand. May each of us earnestly strive to keep the church pure, as Ephesians 5:27 says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If you're interested in learning more about the church, I make myself available to get with you to point out what the Bible says about the church. If you have some question about that, be happy to answer that, to give you a Bible answer, to point you to the scriptures that talk about that. And we want you to know this afternoon that the door of the church is open to all. And we invite you to come into the church through faith, repentance, and baptism. Does it make any difference where you've been or what you've been involved in, to recognize that, as the song says and the Bible teaches, that Jesus will add your name above if you'll believe, repent, and love, confess his name before all men, and be buried in water with Him. And there are many others who have done the same thing. There are folks just like you that have believed, they've been motivated to repent, to make changes in their life. They made that confession of faith that I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, they've been buried in water with Him. And we have water here that is even warm and clothing that's available. All things are made ready that you might have your name added above. And as a Christian, as a member of the church, work through His church. Don't allow any forces or influence to cause you to go astray. Don't follow the mind of man, but God's perfect plan, and work throughout your life every day for the Master. Help lead the erring to His way by being a good example to others and teaching them the gospel. Believe His word, obey His command, and the Church of Christ will forever stand. It's a possibility that you've not yet become a Christian. You've not had your name added above. What are you waiting for? Why not take advantage of this opportunity? Or it may be that you become a member of the church, but you've lost sight of its value and the importance of it and the importance of working for the Master, and you've gotten sidetracked from that perfect plan, and you've been following the mind of man. Maybe it's your mind. You've been doing what you want to do and launching out on your own initiative. Would you repent of that and ask for God's forgiveness and help the church to stand as the light that it needs to be in the community by believing His word and obeying His command? What a beautiful song, and thankful for your being here to give attention to that. And if we can assist you in making your life right with the Lord, won't you come now? We stand and sing the song.